God is a God of love, and he does not teach through fear or use fear in any way. Hello, my name is David Nelms, and I have written many articles that provide spiritual insight, and I am happy to share them all with you. Before we begin, please take a moment to clear your thoughts and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see things more clearly. Today's topic is Beyond Any Secret. We begin. There are no secrets, but there are things we have hidden from ourselves. These hidden truths were never denied us by God. Quite the contrary, we denied ourselves access to the truth because we are terrorized to some level of what we believe the real truth is. So we make our own truths in place of real truths. Thus we see and experience the world as we have chosen, but not as it really is. Science, through the study of quantum physics and other related fields, has recently hypothesized how our lives are seemingly surrounded by infinite choices and infinite outcomes, infinite directions with infinite possibilities. A few recent beliefs share this concept and have declared that you can better direct your own destiny as compared to what we had previously been led to believe. I invite you to join with me and take a closer look at this. Recent findings state that each of us has the capacity to create a focus in our lives and get whatever it is that we want or desire. This concept is true, but it only hints at the true nature of who we are, since the true scope of our creative capacity is much larger than what the recent findings can even begin to comprehend. The reality is that each of us is the sole originator of how we see and experience everything and everyone. Nothing happens to anyone or anything unless you chose it or allowed it. This statement is also true for everyone else as well. I realize the previous statement seems impossible, since it implies that your world and the world of everyone else is a direct result of your perception and of what you specifically made or allowed, while also stating that everyone else's world is also a direct result of their own perception, and everything in this world, including your world, is a part of what they had made or allowed. I am saying that you make all that there is and influence everything that happens, but so does everyone else. How can this be so? How can we all be the makers of everything that happens to everybody, including ourselves? Let's take a look at a few key concepts that will help you see this more clearly. We have all said or heard that we are one. Often this is misconstrued as meaning we are all in the same human family, etc. But this reference has only to do with us being one spirit, joined in a way we cannot yet fathom, but in a way we can still perceive as possible to some degree. To see how we can all be one, let's contemplate a situation where God, the one source of all that really exists, had a child. We shall call the child's name Christ. And everything that is known to exist is a part of this child, and therefore the child is complete. The child is the perfect spiritual duplication of its creator, and the only difference between the child and the creator is that the child did not create itself. Other than that, the child is identical to its creator and also creates as does its creator. In the beginning, nothing physical existed because God's child was a spiritual being, experiencing only an eternal spiritual existence. Because of an error in thinking, this child mistakenly embraced the concept of creating something separate from God. And now this child utilizes What appears to be the brains, eyes, ears, sensory limbs, and more of trillions of people. This child has become confused into believing that all these bodies are separate from all other bodies, because when he limits his view of the world from that of a single person, perception becomes possible, and it appears obvious to the child that he is indeed separate from everything he sees, including God, his source. Suddenly he feels small, insignificant, and vulnerable, and feels as though he can be easily attacked. Isolation is born, and thus the seeds for war and murder are planted. God's perfect child, the Christ, is the Son of God. Many beliefs lay this identity at the feet of one person, Jesus, of whom it is said to be the only begotten Son of God, but this is not so. Jesus is, was, and will always be a part of the Son of God, a part of the Christ, just as you and I. We are not separate, and we never have been. It's simply not possible to break apart anything that God has created. It's not possible to have a bigger part, a lesser part, a more important part, or a less important part. All parts comprise of Jesus, yourself, myself, and anyone who exists and whoever existed are all the Son of God and are all equally loved and cherished by God's unconditional love. While we use and experience time, some of us may appear to play important or pivotal roles, but this means nothing in eternity, where everything is joined as one in harmony and all things are viewed truthfully. For a greater insight on how the one Son of God can appear to be a collection of billions of separate people, imagine for a moment that the Spirit that is the Son of God is like a human brain. This brain can create worlds within its thoughts and discuss things amongst itself. Although the brain is one object, the thoughts within it are almost infinite in number. These thoughts move at near the speed of light as bolts of energy that send and receive messages. Although the brain is one thing, it is also billions of things. Within the Spirit that is the Son of God, you exist as one of its thoughts. Thought is all that really exists. Similar to the function of electricity in a human brain, you are a message of thought energy within the Son of God. You are a message of love, created with love, and existing because of love. Only thoughts of love exist because only thoughts of love come from our Source and Father. Nothing that is unlike Him can exist. Each thought of love, confused by thinking it is separate from God, flashes into physical perception for just an instant of eternity and then appears to go away. We associate this period of time as our experience of being born into a body, living, and then dying, but the energy behind the thought is never extinguished with physical death. This thought of love is simply changed to another state of being for a split moment, like what occurs right after our perceived bodily death, until it once again flourishes and bursts forward once again. Energy cannot be destroyed. It can change form and appear to have gone, but it never ceases to exist, and that's how and why Jesus was able to say we have an eternal existence, because it's simply not possible not to. We are eternal beings that are all part of the same mind, the mind of the Son of God, which exists within the mind of God. We are all one. We are all connected. Everything that happens to anybody affects everyone. To summarize this topic, each of us affects the rest of us, but since we are all one being, we have mutually agreed upon the premise for our existence, and we all currently agree with the current conditions that all our lives experience. At the same time, a single perception from what we misperceive as a single point of view rocks the boat, and we seemingly fight with the other, manifesting unnecessary issues and struggles. However, since we are all one being, we are only fighting with ourselves. As individuals, we can choose to think we could run our own lives and fool ourselves into thinking we experience this world as though we are not connected in any way to anyone or anything. Alternatively, as part of a collective, we can choose to see that there may be a better way and welcome God's direct guidance into our lives and open our minds to seeing that our true condition is one of total peace with unending abundance. When contemplating the secret idea of creating your own destiny and being positive and looking forward to a richer and healthier you, there is no argument that you do have this capacity, but the misunderstanding of the true purpose of this capacity is why we are not in full communion with our source anymore. Recognizing this power within you is a wonderful step, but choosing what to do with it will determine how you either continue to evade communion with God or fully embrace communion with God. So, now that you are more aware that your surroundings are a direct result of what you have either chosen directly to happen or have simply allowed to happen through ignorance, what do you do with this new awareness? There are only two choices. For all things, there are only ever two choices. You either choose to believe that you know what is best for yourself and follow a path you perceive through ignorance and blindness, or you choose to believe God knows what's best for you and follow a path He manifests through truth and vision. It's easy to say you need to allow God to direct you, but if we could so easily trust Him, we wouldn't be in the situation we are. The truth is that we really do not trust God. We view the whole idea of trusting God as rather fearful because of what we inherently think God would do to us or have us do if we let Him have His way. While we see Him this way, we will never even begin to trust Him. So we need to look at what we can do to see God differently. The best place to start is to open your mind and allow yourself to consider that your perception of God may not be totally accurate. To do this, set aside all fearful concepts the world has drawn of God and simply accept they may be mistaken and that God is pure love without condition. Everything and anything that has ever occurred here on earth that was not a direct result of unconditional love was done by us, only by us. All the things we have blamed God for in the past had nothing at all to do with Him. You are as directly responsible for everything that has ever happened to anyone as is everyone else. God was never the architect of anything that led to death or decay. Only we are. By seeing how we have done this to ourselves, and by seeing that we are the ones who have distanced ourselves from God, can you also see that what we have done and are doing now is insane to some degree? We are blind in so many ways, and we really do not know what is best for us. We think we do, but the state that the world is in is proof to the contrary. This world is proof only of what existence is like when hiding from God. But it's not real, because it was not fashioned in love, and therefore it only exists as a splintered dream from which we will eventually awaken. Even though we may have convinced ourselves that we have hidden from God, or should be hiding from God, He has never lost sight of us and has never let us go. We thought we let Him go, but it's not possible to separate ourselves from God. But we think we have, and that is a very frightening thought, and this thought has created so much havoc throughout our existence. We conjured up this physical world to prove to ourselves that we are not spiritual beings, and to prove to ourselves that we are not immortal, and to prove to ourselves that there is no God. Fortunately, we cannot undo what God has so lovingly created. When making the choice to let God's all-seeing wisdom direct you, there's only one prayer you ever need, and there's only one desire you ever need, and that is for you to be willing to allow in your life that which is best period. Simply speak and say, Father, Holy Spirit, and Brother Jesus, I am open to allow in that which is best. Don't suggest a direction, and don't tamper with ongoing results, but simply and truly be open to see that what God knows is best for you is really what is best for you. Even as you speak those words, many thoughts, ideas, and whole situations may flow through your mind as what you think you know is best, or what you hope God knows is best. This reaction is normal at first, but you cannot ignore these thoughts since they are undoing your request and that they are screaming, "Never mind." As these thoughts come to you, simply hand them over to the Holy Spirit to correct. For example, for any thought that is clearly your own idea of what you think is best, say, these thoughts about what my career should be, or who my mate should be, or what activities I want to pursue, I hand over to you to correct. I would rather be open to receive and experience that which is best. In time, these thoughts will recede and you will find yourself much more trusting of the direction God manifests in your life as compared to the direction we attempted to make and follow. When practicing your new knowledge of having the capacity to bring about change in your life, please integrate into your thinking the only scripture that needs to exist. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely upon your own concepts and ideas. And everything you do, accept that He sees and knows what is best, and He will lead your way. What then is the path God will provide? God's path for you is never a physical path. His path for you is to help you be more patient, more loving, more forgiving, and more peaceful in whatever you may physically do. As your mind becomes more Christ-like, the choices you make will differ and change from what they have in the past, and then one day you will see and know that what God knows is best for you was never at odds with what you truly wanted all along. God, yourself, and I, at the heart of all things, desire only one thing: to experience being one again, and to restore the connection and communion that we had experienced for an eternity before, and will experience for eternity hereafter. This article has concluded. To access more articles, please visit the Being Willing website at www.beingwilling.com. That's BEINGWILLING.com. BeingWilling.com. Thank you for allowing me to share this time with you, and have a great day.